Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show 156. And we're in a very noisy Henry Addington's this week. You can tell it's Christmas, can't you?
I've got my Mario open down there as well.
Bloody hell. Should we get a bottle?
Maybe they're celebrating Man United winning a home game.
Hey, well, to be fair, I judge things on calendar weeks, and we're having a very good week at the moment. We've played 1-1-1 this week since Monday. Fantastic. Don't know what happened last week. I think it kind of glazed over that a bit.
Shower of shit, wasn't it?
Week before wasn't that bad. During Spurs. Take that. Yeah, it was shite. We'll talk a bit more about it at length in a bit, but obviously the usual suspects are in. Andy Frank's here for the last show of the year.
For me, it will be, yeah. I'll be returning next year as a proud father.
Well, if we have that.
Well, last show for a long time, really.
Yeah, we can do a little bit of a rogue show on Friday, can't we, in our Christmas jumpers.
Recording.
Yeah, a little bit of recording, why not?
Maybe even a few special guests.
There probably will be, yeah. But the last proper show of the year.
Yeah.
Are we sad about that?
Well, you not being around for a while.
No comment. Like Uwe Rosler, you're leaving us.
Well, Uwe's gone, isn't he?
Yeah.
What a great thing to talk about.
Yeah. Thoughts?
To be honest, you know, if I was in his situation, I'd probably take the job at Wigan.
He's been quite open about the fact that he wants to manage.
Well,
he's used Brentford as a sort of stepping stone. He's done very well there.
Yeah.
So
we got as much out of it as he did from us. His family live, you know, north of London anyway, like much nearer to where he's going to be managing. He's a family man.
Where's his family? Still based up near Manchester, are they?
Yeah.
I thought they might be
abroad. So. His family live up there. So, everything sort of works for him. He's not left the club. Well, he's left the club in a much better situation than when he took the reins. Mark Warburton, sporting director there anyway, he's going to take the reins until the end of the season at least. The good thing is there's continuity in the club, and today we just had we've just brought in a new sporting director. There's a guy who used to be at Liverpool, a guy called
Damien Camoli.
I was going to say, how might you?
Anyone heard of him? Frank McParland?
Oh, Frank
McParland. So he's he was head of player development and youth academy director at Liverpool. He was their chief scout there between 2003-2007, and he was general manager of Bolton briefly.
During the Sammy Lee reign, presumably.
He comes with wealth of experience. So
where's he been? Out of contract? He's been coaching somewhere or doing something?
He's been out of contract for a month, so he left Liverpool about a month ago.
Okay.
So the good thing is that the setup board likes, so the owner, Matthew Benham, he's got a sporting director, he's got a manager, everything seems to be going nicely.
Yeah.
Go on the bees, kick on. 3 points against Oldham at home.
He was there.
Come on!
He was there to see him lose, wasn't he, at the weekend?
Yeah, he went to the game and get used to the sort of match day situation.
What did he think of the pies?
No idea.
No? Well, find that out. When you're back in January, I want to know.
Alright,
come
on. Coming from Mr. I find everything out and do everything I'm supposed to after a show concert.
Well, yeah, you didn't tweet those two videos.
No, I didn't. No. Did you expect me to?
Actually, I thought you might. I'm not your man of his word, but
you should know better than that. You've known me for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, we haven't even said Dan, Jib, Mike, Andy. We're the four that are here today. Didn't do an introduction. Quick question for you from our old friend.
Didn't really need to.
Quick question from our old friend Andre. He was asking what we all do for Christmas dinner. Now, if he'd listened last year, he'd know that Christmas dinner we record a podcast and have a few too many Baileys. And Stuart Hall gets a bit close to Nat Grandma.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's a good day. Maybe we'll be doing that again this Christmas.
So what's he asking? What do we do for Christmas dinner?
Yeah.
Eat.
Just generally.
Drink.
Yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
Drink, yeah. Fall asleep at 2 o'clock. Wake up again at about 8. Drink.
What time do you eat?
About 1:30.
That's early.
That is early. And you're asleep by 2?
I'm normally on.
Well, no, okay, maybe about 2:30.
Bacon butties and champagne
about
midday.
Questions, yeah? Like, just
yeah, no, you start drinking willy-dilly in the morning, about 10 in the morning. Then have your.
What do you mean start drinking? Start drinking on Christmas Eve?
Yeah, well, to be fair, I would say that yesterday, a week to go until Christmas Eve. That's less than a week. It's the best day of the year. Northwich Weather
Spoon. A week to go to Christmas Eve.
Yesterday it was.
It's the 11th. It's the 11th of December.
2 weeks. Same difference. I don't,
what do you mean the same?
What's wrong with you today?
I'm excited
a week,
for Christmas
2 weeks.
Eve.
Man United fan.
You're going to be really,
delirious
you're gonna be really disappointed
moment.
In a week's time when it's no way fucking near.
Well, no, next Tuesday I'm getting pissed anyway, so it's fine.
Who your club's got a box now? You've got Swindon at home.
Yeah, we've got Swindon at our place. Yeah.
We've got Hull away.
That's on TV as well, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Third lunchtime kickoff.
Jills have got Leighton Orient at home, which will stuff us. We need to do the clubs like their favour, but don't look at us for a favour.
Stokes, you mentioned an interesting fact the other day about an Arsenal player.
About what player?
An Arsenal player.
You have to help me out. Yeah,
Glenn Helder
not having to play over the Christmas period. Oh, come on, you even cracked this out yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's remembered.
Cozzola has had it written into his contract. He doesn't have to play on Boxing Day, so he has Christmas off.
Really?
Yeah, it's the Santa Claus.
Sweet!
That's your best one in a long time.
I honestly didn't know
you're
what you were
welcome.
Talking about.
I know, I was like, come on. That was come fantastic. On,
Stacey. I did bust that out earlier in the week.
Yeah. Who's first got Boxing Day?
No, I
so then we've got your New Year's Day in the return game at Old
Can't
Trafford.
Remember.
Well,
I genuinely can't remember.
Oh, you got on Thursday?
Well, tomorrow?
Yeah.
Being Muppets R Us, and well, it didn't really matter, did it? We've already qualified.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know. Yeah. What about Saturday?
Angie Macalalalalalala.
What about Saturday?
Are we going to go through the entire fixture list for the rest of the season? Right. March the 5th.
March the 5th. No idea.
But no, well, I suppose we mentioned it briefly. It's been a bit of a...
out of all of us, I've been to the most games in the last couple of weeks anyway.
Yeah, probably.
Thank you very much.
Change.
Yeah.
Probably, but... Yeah. Well, certainly, because I've not been to any in the last couple of weeks.
Exactly.
You were at Hastings at the weekend, of course.
You haven't actually paid for your tickets.
You know where Stapes wasn't on Saturday, though? Watching Gillingham?
No, he was watching...
Because he didn't know they even played.
Hang on.
Do you think I didn't know we played?
He wanted to avoid the fact that they
I
got
was
beaten
pretending
by
we had played because we played the team bottom of the league. Then. I had about 30 text messages on my phone on Saturday from people rinsing me. I know we fucking played. I just decided that I would pretend that we hadn't played to anyone that asked me. Fortunately, Andy knows his football, so he knew that.
How did you get on?
We didn't play.
Oh, right, okay. That's good to go.
We didn't play.
There's a rumour that you might have lost 3-1 to Notts County.
Gillingham lost to the team bottom of the league, who were still bottom despite beating us, and no one else played in the league. So they're the only two teams to play in the whole league. They beat us, and they still bottom. That's how bad
Peter
they are.
Taylor
they
are turning it around, did he?
Peter Taylor can turn a car around.
Well, look at Brighton. Game previously, lost to bloody Barnsley, bottom of the league. Next week, beat top of the league, Leicester, at the weekend. Ridiculous results.
Oh, funny weekend. But yeah, how was Hastings?
Really, really good, actually.
Yeah. How was your dad?
He had a great day. They won 1-0 against Three Bridges. Yeah, went for a few beers in the morning. It's actually a really nice football day. It was just me and my old man, that was it. Met him down in Hastings, went for a few drinks, got the train back, really good. Met Dan down there as well, who we spoke to a few times during the cut run. But it was the pitch looked amazing.
Really?
See, the stand they're playing at, the pitch looked absolutely amazing. 1-0 win, bit of a scrappy second half. Kenny Pope scores.
Good stuff.
He looked really good, actually. He's a big old lad, because we talked about him loads when he used to come on and score super sub. They got him up front. Decent goal, 1-0, so still top of the league. Three Bridges didn't look great. Proper day at football.
Have you ever been through Three Bridges?
As well,
no.
It doesn't look great.
No,
drinking with a pint in the
always
tennis,
always a
up.
Fucking bus replacement service.
Oh, I've got a pot with all that shite over Christmas.
You were telling me something else earlier about your old man as well, which is quite interesting. The programmes that he found from... what are you talking about, from 1958 or something?
Well, so basically, so spending the day with my old man, usually I've got mates with us or my sister or whatever at football, just me and him, so I thought, alright. Basically, my dad was born in 45, and I've spoken to him about 64, but I've never really got spot on it. So he was 21 when England won the World Cup. So I was just like, right, mate, take me through that day. Like,
how old do you want, Mansory?
He was born in 45, so he was 21 in 66.
68. He's 68.
Okay, right, yeah. I was thinking
same age as my. I'm just trying to work out. Same age as my old man.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was definitely 66 who won the World Cup.
No, it was 68.
I think if we won the World Cup, I'd wake up 2 years later. And
right.
So I was just like, and he was a massive, massive football fan from when he was sort of 13, 14. So I was like, how, like, Alan talked me through your whole day. So he did. He talked me like talked me about the semi final. Then he watched the third, fourth playoff on the Friday night. And then he told me through his Saturday. Woke up and then yeah.
No, I meant the first game you went to.
I know. Yeah, yeah. Oh. So then I was like, oh yeah. So what other game? So yeah. Then he was talking about the first game. And he dug out a program from Spurs v Man United about a month after the Munich Exodus. Oh, wow. It was the first game he remembers going up to London for. So
that program probably be worth a fair bit.
Yeah,
fair
well,
bit
we were time. Talking about it, and I came into Dan and I was like, what? Because he originally told me they won 1-0, and it was the game that Spurs secured the double. So then I looked it up and I was trying to find, because he knew who'd scored. So I was trying to find a score. And then I was looking at it thinking, well, it can't be. So I emailed him back and said, I think you're talking about this game. And he's like, I was talking about that game. It wasn't when they won the double, but it was just after United. Yeah. So we went in there. Well, and he found a programme.
It's interesting because my dad's got a load of old Everton programmes from the 60s and 70s from when they won the league. They had like Brian Lebon and Alan Paul. But the fucker drew in all of them when he was a child. Right. So they're worth nothing.
Actually, there was a nice poster. Was that really this weekend or weekend before that they one of the Busby Babes?
Oh, Bill Foulkes.
The big poster they brought up.
He played in the game. Yeah. My dad was talking about.
He was one of the ones who didn't come out of the actual air disaster too badly. He was involved in helping people out the plane and stuff like that. He was one of the few that weren't badly damaged.
Yeah.
So it's really strange to think he's lived now for what, another 50 years, and there are people who were on that flight who were younger than him, people like Duncan Edwards, yeah, who could still be with us today. It's a shame to think about.
Actually, on the 66 memories, the thing that my old man always talks about still to this day was Greavesy not being in the team,
because he was a superstar at the time.
My old man talks about Greavesy, one of my old man's heroes, footballing heroes at the time, you know. So
trust me, Greavesy still talks about it as well.
Yeah.
I've seen him live and he's still there, it is one of the biggest,
would be like for this generation, Rooney, seeing someone like Rooney, like Rooney not being in the squad. It would just be, it was just crazy. And it was the fact that, you know, it was really focused on a West Ham team, yeah, wasn't it?
But
it really was.
I mean, back then there were no substitutes either, were there? So it could have been so different. Greavesy was half fit.
Yeah, yeah.
He no doubt would have come on.
One of the best performances I saw this week was Peter Shilton on Celebrity Wipeout.
God.
Great performance. Great performance. Still got it.
What, did the anyone, total wipeout? The one with the big red balls? At the
top.
Fucking hell.
Did anyone watch Vieira and Keane on ITV4 last night?
No.
Really good.
Sky Plus.
Really, really good.
Watching it tonight.
I have to say, like, really. You know, he glamorises it a bit and makes them out to be fucking gladiators and the rest of it. But really worth the watch to anyone listening. Make sure you watch that, Patrick.
Like, I was talking about one of the lads yesterday.
Really, really good.
There hasn't been a rivalry
since in terms of players.
Yeah. No, but even like
Joey Barton and who's the guy from Wolves?
Henry. Yeah.
Oh, Henry. Goal, Henry.
That was like the modern day version.
Yeah. But it wasn't. It's like,
that's all right. Yeah, we'll have that.
It was a big, like the Arsenal Man United games back then. It wasn't just after Man United. There was more to it.
Yeah.
And there was.
They hated each other.
But these two, listening to these two talking about the bus stop in the tunnel, you know, the red cards, Martin Keown at Van Nistelrooy, you know, they both put their best ever start, best
didn't,
ever 11.
Didn't put Giggs in, did he?
And then they picked a combined one. And there was one position where they couldn't agree on. So
left back.
Left back. So Vieira had his best ever 11 that he played with Arsenal. Keane, interestingly, left out quite a few players and went for players who had gone up against Ferguson.
Yeah,
so he left out
Scholes.
Yeah, yeah.
Ridiculous when they did the combined team, it ended up being Lauren at right back. Do you think?
Keane left out Scholes because he put himself in the team.
He left out Gary Neville because.
So was Vieira in the team?
Yeah.
To be fair, it's
so Vieira was in the team and Keane wasn't.
You had to have Vieira. No, Vieira and Keane ended up being in the combined. Yes.
He chose Paul Leeds over Paul Scholes. And he chose Paul Parker over Gary Neville, which is a bit.
But you know what? So it is really, really interesting. Yeah. It was a good watch.
Speaking of last night as well,
I enjoyed it a lot.
Well, United got a result. Well done.
Oh God, when you're being patronised by a Spurs fan, you know it's got bad.
But the Man City game was pretty entertaining last night.
Fucking hell, fair play to him. And fair play to James Milne. He gets a lot of stick for being a workhorse, but by all accounts, he was fantastic.
Very well. Not so much fair play to Pellegrini.
Not realising. Oh, but none of the team knew either. So Milner's gone and said in some interview last night or this morning, he's gone and said that even the players weren't aware of the fact they only needed one.
The last manager I remember doing that was Alan Ball when City went down in 96, and he thought draw was enough to stay up, and told Steve Lomas to run to the corner with the ball, and then next thing you got Niall Quinn running out
telling Steve Lomas to do that was a thing in itself anyway. Rubbish.
I mean, it's ridiculous though, isn't it?
In the modern game
it is. In the modern game you haven't got one person who's gone, you only need one more.
Well, the fact that they haven't worked out beforehand the permutations, if we win 3-1, 4-2, blah, blah, blah.
How do they not fucking know? Anyway.
Whether they would have got a go is another thing, but...
Probably one of the most interesting games from last night, though, which we were talking about this morning, was the Galatasaray-Juve.
I'm thinking about going to Turkey for a bit of winter sun. Well, do you reckon it's any good?
You saw that within 8 minutes, the snowstorm was that bad, within 8 minutes, the whole flight, the pitch was unplayable. Yeah. They postponed it, tried to get the game started again, the pitch was too fucked. So after 32 minutes, they postponed the game. They've actually just kicked off about 20 minutes ago, restarting it after 32
it's
minutes.
2-2 already.
Is it actually?
No.
Not, is it? But I don't think I've ever seen that. Yes, it's like talking about the England game that got replayed.
You'd think that you'd start it from 0-0. Give 90 minutes.
Well, it's dangerous though, because it's the last group game, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So things could just snowball from there, and then suddenly you've got like a match fixing. DJ Campbell gets involved, and everyone's fucking gravy, isn't it?
Well, because Juve only need a draw, Galatasaray need the win to go through. Yeah. So it's a fucking important game.
How did Benfica do? Anyone know?
They won.
So they went up, they went through.
They didn't go through. Benfica won, but they still went out.
Well, they beat PSG and they went out.
They won 2-1, but Olympiacos won as well. Nice guys.
I saw they were 1-0 down. I walked past
great result. Benfica won 2-1, but Olympiacos got a result, so they ended up going through.
Fair play, Olympiacos, they just had to go through.
Famous last words, but I think Olympiacos would be the team that everyone won the second round.
Man City will be, obviously guns out for them, wouldn't they? Because City going to get a tough. Pretty tough game.
Yeah,
any upsets in any of the other groups so far, are there?
Atletico Madrid's probably the one they want, and they're fucking good, which says a lot.
Arsenal going out tonight is going to be an upset.
Well, I hope it happens, but I'll tell you what, Glenn Davis will get some sledging tomorrow.
Is it if they lose 3-0?
They have to lose 3-0 to go out,
More than Napoli.
I actually overheard you boys talking about this in the office earlier. I wouldn't fancy going over to Naples as a fan.
Ten, like, 10 Marseille fans got stabbed, didn't they?
The whole team and coaching staff under lockdown. But I would never, ever, ever, ever go to Napoli for a game of football. Never.
But they are it is meant to be one of the best atmospheres in any stadium in the world.
It's a beautiful city as well.
It is meant to be one of the best atmospheres.
Yeah, but you won't see a lot when you sit lying in a hospital bed for 9 seconds.
I don't know what the capacity is. It's something between 40,000 and 50,000, the capacity at the stadium. And the population of Naples is it's really, really low. It's like less than a million people, like really, really low.
It's quite small.
So the proportion of people who fill the stadium, I think it's actually less than 500,000 people, the population of Naples.
No.
It's actually quite amazing how many people they get into a ground. Anyway.
Well, it's because they're all forced to go there by the fucking mafia.
Yeah. Makes them even more scary.
Don't let them win.
Actually, talking about stadium capacities, anyone pick up on this? Barcelona are apparently looking for a new site. If they can't, they're trying to figure out how they can increase their seating capacity by another 15,000.
To 105,000,
And if they can't do it, they'll actually try and build a new stadium.
To be honest though, isn't the new Cup half empty for most league games?
No, actually they're one of the only stadiums that is normally fully packed.
There's
always a sellout in Barcelona, mate.
Cristiano was the first player in history to score nine goals in a group stage.
He's been injured as well the last couple of weeks.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Germany are going, all this shout for Ribery to be player of the year. I'm sorry, but what Ronaldo has done this
year? Ronaldo is not going to win that Ballon d'Or, I'll tell you now.
You reckon?
He won't win it.
Why not?
He should.
The bookies slash Messi's odds massively.
Charlie Austin's not a bad shout. Has he continued his form over at QPR?
No, he just didn't make the shortlist.
He was the 24th. So Marlon Harewood's still playing.
So close.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
No, but apparently Messi's going to win it. Messi or Ribery, then
I think it'd be a farce if Messi wins it.
I don't really care.
I give a fuck.
I'll survive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, exactly. To be honest, though.
I'll tell you what, it's a farce. Have you seen the old...
I'd enjoy it. Ronaldo's so vain.
Who votes for that? The FIFA delegate.
I'd love it. I mean...
Who votes for it?
It's the...
It's managers.
It's managers. And I think it's international captains.
I'm so sure Gerard, Platini gets a vote, doesn't he?
Yeah, because Gerrard came out and said he voted for Luis Suarez.
But he's not in the top three.
Well, no, but they vote for them initially, yeah. And then he gets worked out.
Anyway,
I like that. Who do you vote for? Luis Suarez. Well, he's not an
option. Yeah.
Well, no.
To be fair, this is the man who said his favourite cheese was melted, so didn't expect anything else.
I'm going to phone an ex-actor. Vote for Wenger boys.
Suarez continues his form how he is at the moment. He can quite easily be in the hat for next year's Ballon
d'Or. I doubt it. He's not playing the Champions League.
I was going to say, yeah.
But
let's see. Yeah, it's a really, really good World Cup.
Uruguay win the World Cup, mate.
Well, you never know.
Stop buying people.
Actually, on the World Cup.
Well, I was about to say something before that until you spoke over me twice. This table is reserved, thank you. Great, for us. Oh, brilliant, they're reserving a table for us every week now.
Sorry.
But yeah, so have you seen they have the FIFA Pro 11?
Did he mean it's reserved from 3 p.m. or in 3 minutes?
Yeah.
It's half one now.
It's going to be a really quick show.
You can't do that to people when you're already sitting at the table.
He just has money.
Yeah.
I don't know why you say that. He's just absolutely mugged you off me.
Yeah. So anyway, you know they do the FIFA Pro 11 with this, so you have an 11, the best 11 players in the world, make a team of the year.
We still talking about it.
Have you seen Iker Casillas is nominated for goals?
I'm trying to link onto the World Cup.
He's played 3 league games this year.
He's played all the Champions League though, isn't he?
But still, that
so he's playing the Champions League.
No, but he did it last season. Diego Costa did, or whatever he's called. Diego Lopez.
Well, second half of last season.
Yeah, but it's based on the calendar year. So he's played about 12 games. Fucking
it's
fast.
All
but
bullshit.
Anyway, World Cup.
How did Qatar get fucking appointed in the World Cup? It's all a load of bullshit.
Because they've got a load of money.
This vote and that vote.
World Cup. What about it? Uruguay, Italy, Costa Rica, fantastic.
I think we'll go through.
I think we'll have 3 good games,
well,
if not.
I work around a load of doom mongers. Do you know what? Uruguay are pretty easy to score goals against. Yeah, they're going to score a few goals, but you've got fancy chances. Italy first off. If you're going to play Italy in the World Cup, get them first game. Yeah.
That's a myth, playing them first game.
I'd take them on first game, mate.
You'd rather. I'd prefer to play Italy, then Costa Rica, then Uruguay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm quite happy playing Italy first of all, although I probably won't get to that game, which is annoying, but... I'll prefer Italy, see what happens. I'd just go at them, see what happens. Sorry,
I guarantee
we lose that game, then there's quite a bit of pressure on the Uruguay.
Yeah,
that's the problem. So, you can do with the 3 points against
but
Costa Rica,
I also, one thing that I agree with is something that Zidane said before the draw happened. He was saying, you know, there's all this, you know, what hat are France going to go into and the rest of it, you know, what group of whatever it is. And
they
he said,
an easy ride about
no, but he said, actually, he thinks that it's better off being in a pretty tough group. He just said, look, you're at a World Cup, start off playing decent teams, you're straight up to the level you should be playing at, and you go through the tournament already playing in high pressure games. There's no point in
then you also argue where you start off in the group stages, you win 3 out of 3, your confidence is booming, you're playing some great football, and then you storm into the group
I sort of agree. I think you need to play a couple of decent teams to be able to actually get your level up.
Ultimately, I think if you look back, it's all bollocks. Some teams turn up and play.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, no matter if we do qualify, it doesn't matter whether we finish top or bottom.
We have first qualified, or second, mate. That's why we're in the draw.
Hey. Well, the knockout stages.
That sounded like he was going to knock you out, then.
It's not actually that bad second round, is it?
Don't we play Spain next or something?
No.
We're nowhere near them. It's a tough second round. We'd have Japan, Ivory Coast, Greece, or the other team in that group, who I can't remember.
Better than Spain or Holland, though.
And it'll be in Rio as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But Brazil faced... more than likely one of either Spain or Holland.
Hey, but you know we were talking about World Cup adverts last week. Have you seen the Visa advert from Brazil?
No.
It's brilliant. So it's a barber who's cutting a fella's hair. I think you recognise him, not sure. Brazilian fella. Well, it's Paulo Rossi, goal scorer, and throughout it's interspersed with him remembering Italy knocking Brazil out of the World Cup.
What a great game that was as well.
Got fantastic, yeah. Oh, it was his World Cup after he'd been out for 2 years match fixing. Next person who's cutting the hair off Zinedine Zidane. Brilliant. Sorry, I've not given it justice. I'll tell you what, I'll tweet the video
right now. Of course you will, Dickie.
Brilliant.
Can we talk about David Moyes?
Oh, yeah, we can. Man United manager, and he will be for a fair old time, yeah.
And
what can you do? We've had two shit results, but what do you do?
You've had more than two shit results.
In the last week we've had two shit results. What do you do to start becoming an Arsenal fan and demanding your manager leaves?
No, absolutely fuck not. But
it's not. There's a lot of questions about the lineup every week as well, isn't it? Is he taking the right team?
But what's he got to go with? We got fuck all midfielders.
His fault, isn't it?
Well, partly. It's a plethora of things.
Didn't he sign Fellaini?
We didn't buy well in the summer.
He's not Fellaini, he plays in midfield, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he's not playing very well. But no, what can you do? Can you start being negative and saying, oh, fuck it, shit?
Would you not chuck Zahara in your team for a bit of creativity on the side?
Personally, yeah.
Pace.
And he came on at the weekend. So hopefully he'll get more of a...
But looked pretty average when he came on.
Average at the weekend. So, you know.
I didn't see the game last night. Apparently Ashley Young was really bad again.
That's bollocks. He's got a lot of stick in the papers. He did. Well, Ashley Young looked good on the ball.
Because I just checked Facebook last night at one point, and I'm a Man United fan, I know. The status was purely, I fucking hate Ashley Young.
Well, that's the problem, though. All United
so
fans...
didn't play very well.
All United fans seem to hate Ashley Young no matter what he does. It seems to be Ashley Young shit. Last night he played a few neat passes, he ran with the ball very well, put in some good crosses. He
had 80 grand a week well spent.
Oh no, it's not at all. But he had two chances, one of which he sliced badly, which was the other. He tried to lob the keeper. Any other attacking player would try it, went narrowly wide. It's one of those, if it was Rooney they would have said audacious, that was a good attempt.
Did you see
it's bullshit.
Who's your ninja?
Got the talent to do it.
Right. Shinji Kamala.
Kagawa.
And his food.
Overrate. Yeah, he overrate.
That has got to be bollocks.
That's the influence of Anderson, innit?
It's got to be bollocks.
It's got to be Anderson.
Moyes said it.
Yeah, but it's still got the. It's got to be bollocks. There's got to be some other story behind that. I prefer
to go with the overeating story.
I can't think of many stories that would be bad. What's less embarrassing than this? I know. Overeating. That'll do.
I've never heard of anyone overeating and getting a stomach pump.
No, you don't have the same Christmas I do.
Illness at United. What happened to the player that was out long term?
Darren Ferguson.
Yeah.
He's back in training. Fletcher. He's been playing for the reserves for about the last. Darren Ferguson's on his way back as well. Yeah. Darren Fletcher, he's been playing with the reserves for about the last month, so he should be back around Christmas.
Okay.
Whether or not he'll ever get back to the level he was at, who knows, but at least it's another midfielder and fucking hell, we need him.
I heard Andy Carroll's coming back.
Speaking of Man United midfielders,
he's got off the sniff for a couple of weeks, has he?
News on
allegedly. Well, he's in Amsterdam.
According to NATO Football, who tweeted this morning, news on Januzaj. Supposedly, he's going out with Talisa.
Oh, God. He looks...
Andy Carroll would be good friends of his,
he looks about 18.
I know. I mean, NATO Football tweeted it, and they're pretty good at their sources and going back.
Fair, if he's going out with Talisa, he's only going to have to put up with it for 6 months, and then he's going to have 3 years off, isn't he?
Exactly.
So, but he should be all right.
I mean, someone needs to teach that young lad a lesson.
Well, yeah, to be honest, he looks like...
Someone needs to teach her a lesson from the video.
Hang on a minute, I was going to say, not very good, not very good technique.
Not great PR, is it?
No.
Anyway.
To be fair, he's only a kid, so he's going to be excited, isn't he? Bless him. Fill your boots, son.
Speaking of not good PR, or good PR, as it were, John Terry spotted in Poundland with a full basket.
At least he probably pays for the stuff, unlike his mum, so...
Hey, he's getting Christmas presents for all his love child.
They're all getting a bottle of links from Saudi Arabia or something.
Secret Santa is just shit.
Oh, there's no fucking point.
Do you know what I got for our Secret Santa? The ginger guy from accounts. I don't even know who he is. I got his name. Who's that?
Buy some hair dye.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Buy some hair dye.
I didn't even realise we had
accounts. I've got that fake tan shit on my desk. Give him that.
I'll tell you what, somewhere there's a ginger lad listening to this and crying, knowing that he's going to get a shit Secret Santa present.
He doesn't listen to this.
No, he probably doesn't. Yeah. He doesn't sound like it.
He doesn't even like football, does he?
I'll tell you what, because next week we're probably going to record our last proper show before Christmas.
maybe we'll do a bit of a podcast secret site there.
No, bollocks.
20p, that's your limit.
20p?
I tell you what,
20p. You can't even buy a newspaper.
If it's 20p limit, do you know what you're going to get for your secret Santa? A fucking 20p coin.
Fantastic, that's what I want.
What else can you get?
You can't even get a chunk nowadays.
I tell you what, Freddo's are 20p.
No, they're not. They're like 50p now, Freddo's.
Freddo's aren't 50p.
No, they're well up there.
What sort of false economy are you living in?
It's true, at least 30p.
I'll tell you what, though.
Oh, hang on.
I'll tell you what, in honour of John Terry, then we'll do a pound.
We're not doing a secret Santa.
We are. We're decided.
No, bollocks.
I'm getting you.
For it.
Yeah.
It's pounds.
Pounds.
Okay. You can't give someone a pound.
No, no, I'm not. You've got to buy a present.
All right. There you go, draw. Who's doing who?
I don't know. Don't worry about it.
Stuart can do a draw. Yeah.
Come on, will you do it, Stu?
Cheers, Stu.
Nicky Maynard, happy birthday, 27 today. I've not wrote on his Facebook wall yet. What shall I write?
Wanker. Get a club.
He's at Cardiff, isn't he?
Get a game.
There you go.
Get a club, then get a game. Should go on loan to a championship side.
Lee Bowyer hadn't been playing for anyone from the start of the season. He was released from where he was playing for last.
He's doing a lot of fishing.
No one took him on. He's only about 34. I thought someone in the lower leagues would take him on. Quite interesting. I don't know why I just thought of that. But
where was he playing last?
Maybe it was Soccer AM that I watched that on or something. We're doing a bit of fishing.
Was he back at Charlton? Or am I dreaming that? No, I don't think he was because they ate him.
I think he said that he didn't really want to play outside of the championship.
Yeah, they ate him. That's why he can't play anymore.
The 80.
The
80. The 80. That's gone from they hate him to they ate him to the 80.
Well, I thought actually Lee Bowyer should probably have something to offer another.
He doesn't like it. He's just enjoying his fishing.
Worst thing that ever happened to him was Liverpool backing out of buying him after he was pictured shaking hands with old Gerard Houllier, because he ended up staying with Leeds too long, going to West Ham. Fucking shit.
That's true.
But you know, speaking of Christmas presents, FC United have got one.
Who?
They, FC United.
New Grant.
Well, that was it. But Ipswich was the last time we played for.
Right. There you go, Ipswich.
That was the season before last. That wasn't last.
We got a very good result on the weekend as well with the last minute goal.
FC United had a very exciting result. They drew 4-0, but they've got a Christmas present. They've bought Northwich Vicks's old 36. Dane Bank stand.
Old what?
The Dane Bank stand at Northwich.
Oh,
they've
right.
Bought, because you know Northwich Vicks got expelled from their ground, and it was bought by
a
chemical
company. How'd you get
delivery
for that?
Fuck no, it's going to be a big fucking lorry, isn't it? Santa's got his work cut out.
Brentford have got a pound admission for their ground, haven't they?
Hey? Yeah.
20,000?
Yeah, actually, I mean, that's obviously been a little bit overshadowed with the managerial thing. So, 20,000, all-seater, do we need it?
No.
Honestly, no. Absolutely not.
I've seen them. It looks exactly like Rob from scratch.
It doesn't matter what it looks like.
Of course it does. It looks like those five soulless shit.
You ask anyone who goes to a game at Griffin Park, do they like Griffin Park? The answer is yes.
Yeah.
You ask any away fan if they like
Griffin
Park.
I love Griffin Park. They fucking love it. And there's four reasons why.
There's four very, very good alcoholic reasons why.
No, it's because it's a terrace with a roof and an atmosphere.
It's a good fucking old school pitch. The problem is that we average about 6,500 people. We did last season, we averaged about 6,500 people. The only time we've sold it out since I can remember, since the 50s, was Chelsea. So we sold 12,500.
Not sold out for the playoff games. Swindon.
No. So the second leg of the semi-final.
Yeah.
So we
Swindon
sold,
must have sold out their allocation.
Yeah, they did, and I think we had between eight and 9,000 people there.
We'll see,
it's still not that bad. 12,500.
I tell you what, this is brilliant.
So we're never going to put 20,000 people in a fucking stadium.
That kind of proves my point. I was going to say this is brilliant.
You say that, you might do.
Oh, there,
Reading when they were at Elm Park. Similar crowds, a bit higher. Now the Majeski, when they're in the Premier League or what have you, or when they're in a higher championship, because you go into one of these soldiers' grounds and you do get people that wouldn't come. You'll get more people turn up, more families turn up.
How is that possible when you can't fucking fill them to the ground week in week?
Well, you know, so we've got aspirations to move up the league.
You get to make to hit 20,000 people. But we're still fill your stadium.
I don't think we're going to be able to.
What I've just said is Reading did it.
Well, a few, but I don't think over doubling.
The good thing going for Brentford when you compare it to Reading.
What right have you got to say about anyone else? We're having a conversation.
I was in the middle of nowhere. Bye, Jim.
Reading's in the middle of nowhere. Brentford is actually southwest London, a lot more, well, easily situated for people to get to it. I don't think we're going to be able to
send easy to get to.
I don't want Reading fans coming there anyway.
Right, anyway.
We heard it here first.
So, when's it due to
open? Let's
never going to get a word in.
Well, what I was going to say is this is great.
It's like 4 years'
time. This is brilliant because you're missing for a month. But all we're going to have to do now is just splice of what you've said today. You said that fucking March. We can just use it over the next month. Then you're still here.
Get us a pint of bitter, will you?
It's interesting. Before... In a few years' time, people will be like, well, 20 years' time, people will be looking back and all of the new, all they'll all be new grounds.
But we'll miss these old stadiums. They're fucking brilliant.
There's a quiz at the moment. I did how many league, of the 92 league grounds, I've been to 76.
Ooh,
of the current.
That's good.
You mentioned
92.
That 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
Don't remember doing it last week.
Yeah, you have.
And of those now, looking at them, the amount of ones that I've been to two grounds at, like Brighton, so I've been to the Goldstone, and now I've been to the.
You go to the Wisden.
And second.
You go to the Wisden.
Yeah, I went to the Wisden. I've watched the Goldstone, Wisden, Priestfield, and Annex, so four.
Yeah, Priestfield doesn't count.
No. Well, to me, neither was with me. That was never their grounds.
My missus' school used to do their PE lessons at the with Dean.
I told you, that's why my sports day.
Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous.
But of all of those...
I'm trying to keep my mouth shut,
I can't think of a ground where I've gone to the new ground and prefer the new ground to the old grounds.
No, it's hard, isn't it?
I can't think of
have you
really.
Gone? Have you been to see Swindon play at Northampton? Coventry
grounds.
Play at Northampton?
I've been to Sixthly many times. I didn't go to the game at Coventry. I've been to Highfield Road.
Is this all just a part of football, though? I know it's not nice to go to these new grounds.
No, it is. The reason it happened is for good reasons. It isn't
the same.
We hold on to the tradition of the traditional side of football every single week, haven't we? We don't like changing football full stop.
No,
we like
football fans don't.
Football fans love everything that
but
is traditional about football.
I'll tell you what, in 50 years' time, there might be some Bolton fans saying, God, why are we leaving the Reebok? I mean,
my favourite grounds in the Premier League are, I think, what Fulham have done at Craven Cottage.
Craven Cottage, awesome, super.
Well, they were so close to leaving. Exactly. Well, they obviously played the year at Loftus Road. And
Craven Cottage, Villa Park, Goodison.
Villa Park, yeah.
Villa Park, proper.
Love Villa Park.
See, that's interesting to say Goodison, because my dad's an Evertonian. He hates Goodison, and most of the Everton fans he goes with do as well.
Because of the facilities? Or what?
They just say it's shit. It means that they're limited in their potential. He says the atmosphere's great, but... there's also quite a bit of bitterness because the amount of times Liverpool have had planning permission on sites that Everton have asked for planning permission on a few years earlier and been refused, and that creates a bitterness. But
I have to say though, the Emirates is a fucking amazing stadium.
I've still been to both.
What about the old and new Wembleys? Because everyone I know said the old Wembley was a shithole.
New Wembley's still a shithole.
I hate the new Wembley. It's soulless. It's horrible.
The two towers, the whole lot.
It's a nice image, but once you're inside, it's fucking falling apart.
I don't go to football for 2 hours in an afternoon to sit in comfort. Why do that? I'll sit on a sofa. Watch it on the TV.
Well, I mean, a whole other argument. Do you go to football to sit, or should we go back to having the open terrace?
To be honest, I go to one of the
I love about
Cricket
Park. Go standing. Yeah, I love it.
About at Fulham last week, we were right at the back, and we were sort of three rows back, and the two rows behind me were standing. So I was happy the fact that I got to stand the entire game.
Yeah. Well, you always hear once or twice a season.
So
about
most of the Fulham defence, didn't they?
Yeah.
Stood still themselves.
Unfortunately, because of finance and the way that football, the nature of football in the modern game, any club that wants to move up the leagues, they have to have aspirations to put 20,000 bums on seats and the rest of it. I'm not saying it's a bad thing for the direction of our club. Just being an old git and saying I don't want change.
Hull City's another example of a team leaving one ground to go to another, and suddenly they're support
the Tigers.
Base.
Yeah, Hull Tigers. But I think you're
Cardiff being made to play in red.
The Dragons.
I mean, that is fucking terrible.
The Dragons.
Well, unfortunately the way it's going. But Hull was a different one because I think one of the two rugby league clubs plays there, don't they? I think it's
Hull KR, isn't it?
Hull KR, yeah. So,
but at least the Hull fans are standing up to it. A lot of Cardiff fans have boycotted games and whatever and stood up to it.
Yeah, they have.
If the Cardiff fans hadn't reacted the way they did, they'd now be playing in red and they'd be called the Cardiff Dragons, and a whole lot of other stuff would have changed because I'm sure when he made those changes.
They are the Dragons, though, now. They are the Dragons.
Yeah, but not officially. They're called Cardiff City. When he started to all that, he would have had a lot more plans than he did to completely change the name. He probably wasn't expecting the boisterous response that he got.
Managed to get onto a sort of 10-minute rant about tradition in football.
Well,
football.
We're
getting older.
And the case in point was when Franchise Scum FC did what they did. That could have been.
Is that one of the grounds you've been to?
That could have been.
I've seen them at Selhurst.
We've seen them at the hockey stadium.
Have we mentioned on here? Have we mentioned on here last week? They might be moving back.
AFC Wimbledon. Let's not even talk about the two clubs in the same breath.
Yeah.
AFC Wimbledon is a proper club. But yeah, they started it, and if there hadn't been such an uproar when that happens, and I know the Wimbledon fans don't feel that other football fans stood up for them as they should have done, but the fact it happened and there was so much discussion, the FA got so much stick, that meant, right, that's not going to happen again, and I don't think it ever will happen again, which is right.
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, fingers, but it's nice to say it will happen, I'm pretty sure it will,
I think it's wrong.
Because it's all about the money, isn't it?
I think it's wrong.
Dan's had enough of it. He wants to move on to something else.
Thoughts on, I quite like the article they did on The People, one of our websites, which is a load of shit, but actually quite liked it. One of the lads wrote about Danny Graham not celebrating when scoring his first goal in 30 games because it was against one of his old clubs, Swansea. Right? They basically
good finish as well.
Basically laid into him for not celebrating, and I completely agree. He should have gone batshit crazy.
It's a whole fucking culture that we got these
days. I'm sure he did score a lot of goals for Swansea, and if they were booing him or if they were giving him a stick, he might have done.
But it's not like it was his boyhood club and he's loved them forever.
No, I understand the
fans chanted his name. The fans chanted his name, and he's respectful of it.
He's made a lot of money off him, that's for sure. I swear he got his moves.
The other week when Van Persie scored against Arsenal and celebrated, one of my mates who seemed to go from work, Terry, was going, oh, what a bastard for celebrating. It's like, well, you've just been calling him a rapist for the first 30
and
minutes.
And Adebayor. That is how you celebrate against another
ultimately, I think you show a bit of respect the first couple of times, maybe, you play against a form team, but and if you've got a real relationship with them. Yeah, but if there's not, then fuck it.
He hasn't got a real connection with him, and he didn't even give a fist pump or anything. It literally was a straight away no.
He's probably forgotten.
Yeah. No.
I tell you what,
he probably didn't want. Yeah, he thought, shit,
what's happened? He blacked out.
These things didn't happen 15 fucking years ago. Mark Hughes celebrated against United. Pete Schmeichel celebrated when City beat United.
He's a striker that hasn't scored in 30 games.
Yeah,
fucking get excited about it.
No, having said that, it was the why I can't remember his name, but the guy who was United all the way through, and then when he scored the goal which sent United out of the
Dennis Law.
He didn't celebrate, did he? He had a great goal, a little back heel as well. Sure, he meant to miss that.
How was it United?
Yeah. He was in United.
That's different.
Time to go, is it?
Yeah.
Well, let's have a bit about Hart then.
There's loads of shit we haven't talked about.
Yeah.
I can't believe you haven't mentioned the fact that
I was going to mention
your second other sport that you love in the whole wide world, that the former Portman.
Someone's become a figure skater.
No, he's joining the WWE.
He's got a development contract.
I thought we were talking about Daly becoming announcing it was gay.
I mean, what has that got to do with football?
Anyway,
I thought that was his second favourite sport.
No,
Daly was his idol.
Figure skating.
Oh, figure skating.
But no, Stu Thomason, former Burton goalkeeper, retired through injury.
No, that's enough. We've got hardly any time. I've literally said. All right, he's joining the WWE.
I had something else as well.
I've got two.
Gennaro Gattuso. Have you seen what he said?
No
place for women in football.
Agreed.
He's got a Mike Neal about it.
Couldn't agree more. Sandro, Tottenham legend at the moment, got pictured apparently driving the Spurs bus to Fulham.
Yeah, I heard about
which
this.
Which is fucking hilarious. And also, back in October, Sandro was quoted as saying, "The beast does not cry. So Spurs Online have actually done a little competition to see if someone can make Sandro cry, which I think is quite funny. Karim Benzema posing for a picture during a cut at the end of an injury time of a cup game that was 0-0.
No!
Female fans.
Oh, they
got the
ball. Drew 0-0 as well. Bad result during that was.
And they're the second division team. Yeah. And he's literally. And there's some parties, literally, with like 2 minutes ago of injury time, he stopped, paused for that extra second just to have a picture taken and carried on. Yeah. Naughty boy.
I'll tell you what, in terrible news this week, obviously, with Nelson Mandela passing away, what I've really enjoyed is seeing the pictures of English teams going to South Africa and meet him. So the famous one is Beckham with the cornrows.
Yeah.
He met him 20 years earlier when United went on tour and he was taken along as a youngster, sat on the bench. There's a picture of the United team with Mike Phelan and Dion Dublin and Darren Ferguson playing, and then Beckham and John O'Kane, who actually gave comments in the Blackburn citizen about the time. He now just lives in Blackburn, and they asked him because he met my dad. But the one I really liked was Liverpool were out there in 94, and Dominic Matteo's just popping his head into the picture.
Photobombing.
Brilliant.
Don't like the fact that Didier Drogba and Emmanuel Boué are going to get punished over their t-shirts for tributes to
him. Oh, fucking fast.
But
that is silly.
The only defence for the Turkish league is that they're putting a ban on political slogans in general, and they can't differentiate. Come on, use your fucking common sense.
Yeah, it's political correctness gone mad.
It's very sad news in the fact that a Kenyan fan committed suicide after Man United lost against Newcastle because he couldn't take the loser anymore. Yeah, a Kenyan fan was so upset that Man United lost again, he committed suicide.
That just says all sort of things about football, but it's very unfortunate for him.
Also terrible.
Very
sad to hear. And Brazil, you see the riot in Brazil.
Not good.
The game against Atlético Paranaense and Vasco da Gama, 10 minutes in, it was playing at a neutral stadium anyway, and it ended up in an absolute farce and a mass riot. The video is absolutely shocking, and it's really, really bad.
Roll on the World Cup.
But Vasco da Gama, one of the biggest teams in Brazil, have actually been relegated from top flight. I mean,
Atlético Paranaense are not a small club either.
No, but I mean, for da Gama to actually be relegated,
have they
that's
just
big.
Gone down?
They've been
are
relegated.
They playing now?
No, they've been relegated. Game has announced their relegation, which is why the riots kicks off.
Yeah. I reckon Martin Jewish should do this part of it. I should just do a headline recap from now on. Not so new news. Ashley Cole's an arsehole. Tweeted earlier, seven FA Cups, 3 league titles, an undefeated season. I'm still not done. Fuck off, Ashley.
Oh, what a fucking cunt. There we go, there's our C-bomb for the week.
Well, he's off to win the MLS, is he?
Exactly. Marcelo Vidal, did you see that fucking epic free kick in the last 3 minutes? Okay, probably not. Saturday night, Independiente took on Patronato in the Argentina second division. 3 minutes
Independiente, massive club, and they're in the second division.
3 minutes to go. 22-year-old midfielder Marcelo Vidal, inside his own half, spots the keeper off his line, drills it into the top corner, basically from his own half.
I saw this.
The celebrations were—he went mental. It was brilliant. Absolutely awesome to see.
Lovely.
Also awesome to see Bilal Mosley still fucking smashing up. He's absolutely smashing it. Scored again.
Oh, he's laughing, isn't he?
Shane Long in a green suit, becoming a busker on the West and the
with
West
Brom,
with Bowers Mile and the West Brom Christmas trip. Fucking brilliant to see.
Mika Richards
and legend of the week, Mika Richards. Thanks for his support for his Twitter fans for the injury he's got. We're so overwhelmed with all the support. He said he's going to donate £20,000 of his own money to charity because
he said whichever charity most needs it. The Podcast Foundation are always doing great work.
We always
so
need a point.
Give us a shout.
Brilliant. Match fixing dickheads.
Dreadful. Yeah, don't give them the time of day. Right, so
fucking hell, that was
Melbourne Heart.
Actually, a very good result. Drew 1-1 Western Sydney Warriors.
Still chasing the win, though.
Still chasing the win at Western Sydney, though, and they did go one up. Really good news is that Harry Kewell had 20 minutes off the bench.
20 minutes.
Good talking about Harry.
He's back.
He made an appearance. He's back. Apparently he was pretty effective when he came on for the last 20 minutes. Melbourne Heart, do you remember, we talked about it ages ago, Melbourne Heart were doing a competition for the fans, a fan to create a new third kit.
Yeah.
Well, they done it and they won. Someone won. And they're going to wear it in a fixture on January the 15th. I really like it.
It's very nice,
Big fan. That is going to be played on, against Newcastle Jets on the Friday the 17th at AMI Park.
Looks a bit like the old Monaco Kappa kit, actually.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan. And I love the sexy pose in the background.
Oh, yeah. He's just thinking, I'm so much better looking than Harry Kewell.
The next game is away to Sydney FC. We're fourth.
Oh, bring them on.
On 15 points. It's going to be a very tough game.
Let's have Del Piero.
Wellington Phoenix, who are on the same points but have played one game less, are at home to top place Brisbane. So hopefully,
go on, Brisbane.
Going to get a result.
Fucking bring it on.
It's looking better for the Heart. We need the win, but. It's the last couple of weeks have been much, much more positive.
The only way is up, and with that breathe, we can
Jesus
finish.
Christ.
Right, so you know the usual score, facebook.com/footballpodcast. at Football Podcast. That's the most important one on Twitter, www.footballpodcast.co.uk. We haven't had an iTunes review in a while, so if you fancy popping onto iTunes, give us a review.
Slag us off if you want.
5 stars, preferably. I mean, we'll take one.
That's all we get is a piss taken out of us.
Yeah, bless him. Yeah, that's about it for the week. We'll be back next week with the old Christmas show.
Go on, Uwe. Good luck at Wigan.
Bye,
we'll miss
Andy.
You.
See you in